found a house and started a school, and we named it Providence Day.
You're hearing this straight from the horse's mouth. It's the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and voice on the PD campus, world language teacher, Jay Barron.
Today I have a chance to speak with two of our nurses, the two main campus nurses here at PD, Anne and Emily.
And we've got two nurses that work at Extended Day, Smita Sawyer and Lisa O'Neill. And then we have grateful to have this year a permanent sub in Cindy Soliday, who's our permanent sub nurse.
Thank you on behalf of the whole community for all that you do. I was hoping that we could start today with each of you just giving us a little bit of an introduction. How long have you been at PD? Anne, would you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I started at Providence Day in 1999, so do the math, a long time ago. Prior to coming to Providence Day, I started my nursing career in the pediatric intensive care unit at what is now Atrium, but Carolina's Medical Center, and then went to a local pediatric pediatrician's office and worked there for a few years, and then came to Providence Day in 99 and have not looked back. It's been a wonderful career so far, so I'm very grateful and love my job.
How about you, Emily?
So I began my career at PD actually at the beginning of this year, so right in the middle of a global pandemic, which has been interesting. Prior to that, I worked for Novant. The majority of my career before this has actually been with adults in cardiovascular care, inpatient and outpatient. I've always dreamed of being a school nurse, so I love this job. It's even in the midst of this pandemic and all of the crazy COVID, everything. It's been such a great job working with Anne, working with the kids and getting to know them. It's really what I consider my dream job.
Well, let me follow up with you about that. I mean, people know that school nurses help children who are sick, but what else is involved in the job? What are the other things that you need to do?
Obviously, during the school day, we get a lot of boo-boos sometimes from the playground or PE. So we take care of those. But, you know, really getting to know the kids and just being that extra support to them throughout the day, kind of a new face when they come in, is just great, being that extra support to them if they need it. And you know, there are some students that Anne has such a great relationship with, and you can just tell Anne has played such an important part in their development at PD, and just being able to have that opportunity in their lives, it's such an important part in their lives, is so great.
Yeah, we consider ourselves, and I've always wanted to have our office be the safe place on campus. The kids will see us outside of our office and they're like, oh, there's the nurse. And I like that. I like that we can be resources for parents when it comes to medical questions or referencing anything like that. We do work with the counselors quite a bit, just helping, making sure that, you know, kids who are feeling overwhelmed or are having other issues, if we notice that students are coming more often than they should, we'd reach out with the counselors and, you know, with parents and stuff. So we just really try and keep a good line of communication with the teachers and the counselors and each other, and obviously with the kids. And they always know that they've got a safe place to come to our office. And, you know, this year's a little different because they don't really come in all that much. But, you know, I laugh and I always say to Emily, because she's new, before this year, blah, 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 blah. So I think she's probably heard that 7,000 times. But I do look forward to the time where we can hopefully get back to the way it was and get to see more of the kids and faces and have more of those relationships. I miss it.
Well, I know how lucky we are. It is that safe place. I believe I've even been in there for a couple of boo-boos myself. So knowing that my kids have access to you, it's tremendous peace of mind. So just thank you for all that you do and have done for a long time. And all that you will do, Emily, when we get back to whatever it used to be like, right? But speaking of our current reality, to date, PD has not had a cluster of COVID cases on campus. Could you please tell us, first of all, what makes a cluster and what safety measures on campus have helped to make this possible?
From our Mecklenburg County Health Department, they describe a cluster as a minimum of 5 positive COVID cases within a 14-day period. And those 5 cases or more have to have a plausible linkage between the cases. That's what defines a cluster. Now, thankfully, with our safety precautions, distancing during the school day, the masking, the hand washing, it's really paramount. And I think the reason we've not had a cluster is because we have been so vigilant with our social distancing, the masking, because that's really what has allowed us to be in school safely.
Yes, and that key is that distance, that 6 feet. Providence Day has done a wonderful, remarkable job from day one, you know, obviously given us the resources that we need, and we've been able to have kids on campus every day safely. And that's why we haven't had a cluster, is because we're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing. Providence Day is a safe, safe place for these kids. Kudos to everybody who worked hard this summer to make it what it is right now. If you have a situation where you have been exposed or if you're having symptoms, we will ask that you get a COVID test. And this is for, you know, students and faculty. And we ask that it's a PCR molecular test, not the rapid test. If you have a rapid and you're negative, then you will have to have that PCR, a molecular test, to return to campus. Or you can choose to stay out 10 days and return at that time. If you test positive on a rapid, then you do not have to have the PCR. That positive is used and you would start your isolation from the date of your first symptoms or the test date, whichever came first. If you're negative, but you've been exposed, you still have to quarantine for 14 days because that is the incubation period from exposure to when you can start having symptoms. And the important thing to remember is that symptoms may start on Tuesday, but your infectious period is 48 hours prior to that. So when we have someone that tests positive, we, with our contact tracing, go back 48 hours and do our interview where we talk about, have you been around anyone less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes cumulative during your day? And that's how we determine close contacts.
You know, I went on the CDC website this morning and frankly, I found it to be a bit overwhelming. There's so much information there. There's so much information out. But the one part that made perfect sense to me was wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart. I'm just curious to know what your thoughts are. What would you say to people who either choose to not wear a mask in public or just don't believe that it's helpful?
I would not approach someone who wasn't wearing a mask because that would be less than 6 feet. But it's a responsibility of all of us to do what is the best thing to do, which is masking and waiting, you know, staying 6 feet apart. I would just ask people to think outside of their own bubble, per se. One thing that Emily and I have learned through all this is it truly is a ripple effect. One positive case really does have an impact that's so far reaching if you're not using the precautions and following the guidelines that are set in place. I'm actually at home right now because my husband went and got tested because he had a cold at the beginning of the week. And so he's waiting for his test results. So the guidelines are I stay home until he gets his test results. He's fine. His cold is better. I'm sure everything is great. But I have to follow the rules and I have to respect that. We all have our own personal opinions, but this is a global pandemic and it is affecting lots of people, and lots of people have been negatively affected by this. So I think that it's, you know, I would find it careless for someone not to follow the rules.
Emily, what would you say to someone who just feels that wearing a mask is unnecessary.
I completely agree with Anne. Not wearing a mask can be so dangerous, especially out in public. I think personally selfish. You know, now is not the time to think about me. It's really about protecting our friends, our families, and our communities, because COVID for someone may be a mild cold. And then, you know, for so many other people, it's life-threatening. And just not wearing a mask, because for me, it, you know, it is an inconvenience, but, you know, it's not doing anything negatively to impact me. It's not harming me. It's just sometimes uncomfortable. But the payoff of wearing the mask and following all of the safety guidelines and protecting our community is so much more important than my discomfort in wearing a mask every day.
I take my inspiration whenever I'm frustrated about the mask from the TKers and the kindergartners.
Absolutely.
You walk by that playground and they're running around and they're just kids going to school, and it's the best.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. They have been a joy to watch. And I, you know, honestly, I did have my concerns. How is a TKer going to keep a mask on all day? I really was worried about it. And it took about 2 days for me to realize I don't have anything to worry about.
Let's talk about Ascend screenings for a minute, if we could. Can you just give us a general sense then of how we use that data, those data, and why it's important for us to be doing that?
Yeah, Ascend is a vital tool for Emily and I. It really gives us an opportunity to have a pulse on what's going on. That's why we totally push, please do your Ascend every day. Emily and I start our day by pulling up Ascend. We start our day by looking at the ineligibles to see if there's anybody new on there. We go through each person. We go through all their symptoms. We determine if it's been, you know, long enough that they need to go for testing or not. We communicate with just about everybody that comes up on the ineligibility list. It can be frustrating when we see all the missings, because those are the unknowns. And by filling it out and taking that, you know, half second that it takes really in the day to do that in the morning is very important to us.
Good reminder. I know that in our house, we've just sort of incorporated it into our morning routine. And so it's not really any more difficult than TKers wearing masks. But for a little while there, I know that there were some people who, you know, it's like anything else, you sort of have to get trained on the new protocol.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I do want people, you know, the parents to know that we do use this data. It is something that we look at every single day, and it really helps us monitor what's going on with our community.
I'm curious, Emily, to know from you, since it's your first year here at PD, and you did mention that you always wanted to be a school nurse. In a strange way, do some of those sort of day-to-day, the boo-boos and that kind of thing, are those kind of nice because they feel like normal school nurse types of things to do?
Yeah, I think Anne and I have definitely joked. We wish that was all we were doing, was just taking care of the kids here at school. But because of COVID, like Anne said, we really don't have a whole lot of kids come by. It seems like a lot of parents do keep their kids home. So we haven't had, I would say, Anne, correct me, but I don't think we've had a lot of kids who come in real sick.
Yeah.
Which is
to
nice.
Date, we have not sent anyone home from our office who has subsequently tested positive. The parents are doing a good job keeping their kids home, and I commend them as well.
And I can't help but think that we must be having fewer colds, fewer cases of flu, just because we're all separating more and doing a better job with hand washing.
I totally think that that's true, because I think we haven't, Emily, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't had anyone report that they've had the flu. I know flu is way down in the you know, community wide as well. So
yeah, which I think just further proves the power of hand washing and social distancing and wearing masks. It really does help.
What is the most important thing that our parents can do to support your efforts?
I think definitely filling out Ascend accurately, honestly, every day, reporting any tests. If they have any questions about their child, you know, Ann and I are here. We answer our emails. You know, we're happy to talk to any parent who's not sure about symptoms their child is having, but really just keeping that open line of communication about what's going on at home is so helpful to us for helping to keep the school safe here on campus.
And I would also follow that up by saying that aside from just filling out a send, I know a lot of parents, because it's just, it's habit and it's what we do, will write the teachers and say, my child will not be at school today because of dot, dot, dot. And they inadvertently leave the nurse's office off of those. That's not intentional, I'm sure, but we really want parents to, when they think of any kind of health related situation, whether it's COVID or the flu or congestion, or they're having a dental procedure and might need ibuprofen, or they're having a planned surgery, or they have an injury and they're going to be in crutches, to please make sure that you're letting our office know, because we work with the teachers. For example, if someone was needing to be on crutches, if they're in a building where there is not an elevator, then we would need to move that classroom, which we have done. But if we don't know about it, we can't do anything to help the student. So it's just anything health related, injury related, just when you email your teachers or advisors, you copy one of us and just kind of keep us in the loop.
But just to be clear, if it's not health related, then on the Ascend form, you can get the green arrow that says you can come to school, but you can still check, I won't be on campus for personal reasons. And then that information gets to you.
Yes. I mean, it's on there, but we don't go through all the green checks. Over the years, we have advisors or teachers forward messages from parents that they have gotten saying, gotcha, my son's not feeling well, or he's having ACL surgery on the 10th. And we didn't even know about it. And so we just want to be able to make sure the parents know to, if you think health related or if it involves a student, just kind of circle back with us, copy us on the email. We won't necessarily reach out unless we need to. But it helps us know what's going on, who might need anything while on campus, or any kind of follow-up conversations at home.
Emily, can you underline any of the information that's currently on the CDC website that you feel we really need to remember?
With the CDC quarantine guidelines update that happened a couple months ago about testing out to shorten quarantine, on the CDC's website, they still recommend the full 14-day quarantine, and our health department still uses the full 14-day quarantine for school-aged children and also, you know, faculty and staff at PD. So even if you test negative while you're in your quarantine, like Ann said, because of the incubation period, that student or that faculty or staff member would still have to stay out. That testing out of quarantine does not exist when it comes to the school.
Okay, now this may be a little bit of an unfair question, but you are both medical professionals, so I'm going to ask you to pull out your crystal ball. Look at August and September of 21, if you don't mind. I know you don't know, but what's your best sense of how this is going and what we might expect in the fall?
That is a good question.
Yeah, I know what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a community that everyone that has the ability to be vaccinated has been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Vaccination is safe. It is highly recommended, and it is the best thing that any of us can do. And I know educators are coming up soon, so I'm thrilled about that. So I think we can get even a community herd immunity. I think that's going to be huge with the vaccination. I think we'll probably still be wearing masks, and I think we'll probably still be doing the social distancing, but I think we'll definitely be seeing less infection rates.
What would you add to that, Emily? You can see the future, right?
Yeah, I wish. I wish I could. Yeah, I agree with Anne, just with how dangerous this virus is. I really, like she said, until the health department says social distancing is not needed, I think we'll probably be in masks, probably still be doing the social distancing.
Okay, one last question, which is, what are you looking forward to when we do get back to something we can call normal?
I'm looking forward to more kids coming in. And it was so sad at the end of the semester, December, a kid came in who I feel like I have pretty good relationship with, a little lower schooler, and he wasn't going to be coming in anymore. And he started to run up and give me a hug and then stopped because he remembered, you know, social distancing. And it was just so sad that I couldn't give him a hug when he wanted one. So normal life is what I'm looking forward to getting to.
I'm looking forward to the kids coming back in. I miss my regulars. I miss the kids that just come by during break just to say hi, or at the end of their lunch just to be silly and visit because it's raining outside and they don't have anywhere else to go. I miss the casualness and the relationships with everyone.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk. I think we all would agree that we miss some of those things that you've just mentioned, and we look forward to a day when we can get back to it. But thanks for talking.
Thanks for having us, and thank everyone for everything that they're doing so that we can continue being on campus.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of From the Horse's Mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community. You can find episodes and more information at www.providenceday.org/podcast or look for us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Was a very, very, very fine house with classrooms in the den. Who could have guessed it then? And now everything is here because of